He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Give him praise. Give him praise. He's worthy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Shall we pray?
Holy, holy, Lord, you are worthy. And I'm honored to sing your praise.
The King of shame, but the King of glory,
hallowed be,
enthroned over every
your name.
Let this be a hallowed moment in His presence.
Oh, oh, hallowed be your name.
Sanctified amongst us this morning, for you are peerless, you are matchless, you are a God in your own class. Blessed be your name. Among all gods, there's none like you. May your name be hallowed, O God, this morning in our presence and in our midst. Divine authority, take over every principality, take over every power of the enemy. Take over the rulers of the darkness of this world. Take over spiritual wickedness in high places. Take over every weapon that has been fashioned against your people and against this gathering, oh God. And let the Holy Spirit fill this place. Brood over this place. Fill this vessel. Give me strength. Give me your anointing. Give me your help, sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for answered prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Well, I'm excited that we are on day three. Running towards the finishing line. Amen. And we thank God for how far he has brought us. And we thank him for how far he will take us today. Amen. I told you that I was going to speak to you about 25 reasons. 25 reasons why some women don't get married. And within those 25 reasons, 25 reasons why some marry very, very late. And then within those 25 reasons, 25 reasons why some married women are unstable in their marriages. It's all encapsulated in the 25. Amen. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Amen. Amen. And I believe that even the sons will get something from it. Amen. I was invited by the men's ministry of a church. And like LPBM was saying yesterday, they gave me their own topic. They said it was a glory conference. And they said I should speak about how to handle the weaker vessel of honor. And I said, this one you have brought yourself. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you, even if you're a sister, to get that message. And one of the things that I said was that in Deuteronomy 24, God in the Old Testament said that if a man married, he should not go to war or do business. He should stay at home with his wife and cheer her up for 1 year. So it means that the cheerfulness of your wife depends on you. Amen. The Bible says the glory of the woman is the man. And that the man should love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave it. That we may be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Anything in that family. So I was wondering if in the modern day, you know, you go for honeymoon 3 days, you've come. And then you are just happy around. But the Bible said even to go to battle. And even to go and do business. Don't do it for 1 year. 365 days. And he didn't say that, don't do it for 1 year so that you play golf. Don't do it 1 year so that you'll be changing TV channels. Don't do it for 1 year so that you'll be talking on the phone. Don't do it for 1 year so that you'll be doing it. He said, so that you will cheer her up. That's the only reason. And so, after that, before you can leave her to go and live as a normal person. So, brothers, your task is not easy. But the Lord will help you. Amen. One of the very common reasons why certain ladies do not get married or postpone their marriage unduly is because they look for perfect things that don't exist. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. Well, King James says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked. Message says, take a good look at God's work. Who could simplify and reduce creation's curves and angles to a plain straight line? Who could simplify and reduce creation's curves and angles to a plain straight line? Amen. And then Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Amen. So one of the reasons why we don't get married or postpone our marriages unduly is because we are trying to look for something straight. And, you know, one bishop was telling me, God does not make anything straight. It's human beings who make straight lines. He said, when you look at leaves, they are not straight. When you look at a shoreline, it's not straight. When you look at clouds, they are not straight. When you look at a tree, even a palm tree, there will be some leaves bending this way or that way. It's not straight. When you look at fishes, they are not straight. When you look at birds, fowls, they are not straight. But you and I, we have come. We say that the curves and angles, we can make them straight. And we embark on a very frustrating journey. And because of that, sometimes, good people may propose to us. But we look at it and say, you are crooked in this area. You are curved in this area. You have an angle in this area. You see, when my husband first proposed to me, a lady said to me that, are you going to say yes to this guy? And I didn't say anything. I was just looking at her. She said, this guy who walks like he doesn't like his legs. I said, hey, what does that mean? I said, oh, the legs are just thrown here and there. Will you say yes to such a person? But she wasn't somebody who was close to me. She just, you know, sometimes some people just make a comment, like unsolicited. They just make a comment. But it was even the throwing of the legs that was killing me softly. Amen. Some people said, he is so thin. This guy is so thin. Is that what you like? I said, yes, that's what I like. He can be fattened up. Amen. And, you know, I have what you call Timothy group meetings in Accra. And, you know, Timothy said, treat the younger as sisters, say this to the older men, the younger women should teach the older women should teach the younger men, all that. So my husband said, why don't you have Timothy group meetings? I've been having it for some years. There was a lull, but I've been brought back to revisit it. And therefore, the church is pastored in groups by me. Although they have their chapels, but on Sundays, they will announce during the week that I would like to meet, let's say, all widows. So it's a Timothy group. So on Sunday afternoon after church, I'll meet all widows. And then I will minister to them. They will also ask me or tell me whatever they have. So this year, I've had 2 Timothy group meetings. The first one was for all men 30 years and above who are not in a relationship, who do not have any nuances of a beloved, and who are not married. So I met them. I just announced, and they came. So I had a meeting with them. And I asked them, so why are you not married? We took the mic round. Somebody said, I had a beloved in the Kodesh. I went to do masters in the UK. I was communicating with her. She was communicating with me. When I arrived, I realized she's married, pregnant, expecting a child. And so that did not help. Some of them there said, because we are unemployed. We don't want to go and worry anybody's daughter. Some of them said we've had bad experiences and therefore we are whatever. Then I asked them, these are the brothers. I said, some of you are 40, above. How many amongst us here would like to marry a 21-year-old? A majority of the men. Right? And I said, a 21-year-old? You may be in love with the body of a 21-year-old, but the mind of a 21-year-old. And even the 21-year-old may not like you. So that, hey, what is this? This old man. Every time I say, let's go here, he says, I'm tired. Let's go here, I can't. After the meeting, I left to another meeting. Lady Pastor BM was left with them. And she told me that they said, oh, why didn't we have these meetings earlier in our lives? We would have thought a certain way. Because I said to them, hips 44, what will it do for you? Huh? Anyway, then we had a meeting of the sisters also, 30 years and above. And I said to them, how many of you can say to me here that nobody has proposed to you before? They couldn't. How many of you can say that even in your so-called adult years, somebody has not shown interest in you? No hand. All of them, somebody has shown interest. But he's this. He has a curve in this area. He has angles. He has a problem. You see, like I said, one sister said, if you are calling me, why do you call me at midnight? It's a problem. And she's quarreling with the person. You see, I'm a very light sleeper. So when you wake me up like that, I can't sleep again. But the person is trying to be loved. Those just, oh, I thought you would see it as romantic. But that is the reason. I said, oh, he should just go away. I mean, we're calling wrong time to disturb me. We look for things that don't exist. Some of you say, oh, he doesn't look romantic. He doesn't look romantic. How can I marry even the ones who look romantic? They are not always romantic 24/7. Amen. And some people can be taught to be romantic. And you yourself, who you are complaining, you are not romantic too. You are so stiff and so some way. So I don't see your problem. But you want to make straight what the Lord has made crooked. The Ethiopian skin. The leopard cannot change his spots. And you say, change, become a zebra. Did he make himself? You say, change, become a dog, become a puppy, become a poodle, become this. And fuss. You know, every time I talk about it, we laugh and all that, but sometimes it's very sad. Because I see people, God's visitation just comes. And then, of course, God is a God of a second chance, but sometimes it really hurts me. And then you see that same brother has gone to find another beloved, and they are flowing. I told you about the sister who said that his head is like a tin cutter. The back here is as if you use it to open cans, a can opener. She wouldn't even consider. Now the brother has married nicely. That was not the person that he had his mind on. But after all the bouncing and they said, oh, okay, then let me just look for. And he has moved on. And I see him with his children. The tin opener has bought a Benz, has built a house. It's in the Lord. The tin opener. Tin opener. And then some of the sisters are still telling me, Mommy, pray for me that God will open a door. And then when I tell them, God opened the door, some of them even have quarreled with me. Then when I went to a convention, then I said their story that And when this happened, they didn't give in. I said, but is it not true? And have I not told you that do not even come and ask me for prayer? Have I not said to you that do not come and ask me for prayer because I feel that God has blessed you? It's not that I'm saying God will not bless you again. But I think that now you need wisdom. You see, the power of God can do so many things. But you need wisdom to know how to choose. So many of us, when we look at in our lives, we cannot say that God has not been good. We cannot say that there was not a time when there was an open door in your life. You cannot say that there was not a time when God just did something you didn't even expect. Just that we didn't know the time of our visitation. Which is what Jesus spoke about, Jerusalem. You didn't know the time of your visitation. So looking for the perfect in an imperfect world is something that worries us. And not only do we carry it on in looking for a beloved, we also carry it on even in a relationship and then in marriage. We devote our whole time to moving spots. When we remove one, we realize that the DNA is genetic and the spot doesn't really go. So instead of enjoying the few years of your marriage, you are so busy removing spots that before you know, either Jesus has come or you've been called home or you've grown old and you look at the day and say, I have no pleasure in them. But you could have been happy. You could have celebrated what God gives to you. The Bible says that all flesh is as grass and the glory of it is like the flower that fades. So all flesh, no matter how anointed, how purified, all flesh has frailties. And all flesh is as grass. Some of you brothers, you're also looking for Miss Perfect. Meanwhile, you are Mr. Imperfect. No, you are looking for things that don't exist. And that's why some of you go and bring your merchandise from afar, even though you are not a virtuous woman. The sisters are in the church. You won't marry them. You want to marry mysterious things. You want to marry things that are not known. Because you feel that, oh, these sisters, they are around here. They sing on the stage. Let me bring something from space. So that everybody will say that, hey. Princess of darkness. That's what you like. But open your eyes. The sister that you have known, the sister that you have fellowshipped with, it's a big stride in your journey. So consider her. Consider her. But always, you are making our sisters go here, go there. Look, the Bible says that do good, but especially in the household. In the household. In the household. Nowadays at the Kodesh, whenever there are marriage bans, the brothers are marrying from different places. I am not saying that they are not Christians, but divine healers, Anglican, glorious this. Then Bishop Paddy once took the mic and said, hey, are you trying to say that this one sitting by you, there's none like that in this church? Is that what you are it was not easy. A Sunday morning. So is that what you are saying? You have gone to divine, and then when you bring them, it's also a problem. Not that they are not Christians, but they can't catch up with your things. You say that you are a pastoral appointee or you have a call of God on your life after church. This sister is from Hallelujah Gospel. She does not know. They go home. On Sunday, they close their doors and go home. Now you have brought him here to this lighthouse. The church has ended and they are still fellowshipping. And some little girls are smiling around you. Hey, pastor. Hey. And she can't take it. She can't say, what type of church is this that they don't close? What type of church is this that people come so close? In the church that I come from, when the pastor finishes preaching, he sits in his limo and then he goes. What type of church is it that they've closed? Because we've been to many places which are not lighthouse churches. They've closed, but we are there. And sometimes often that people will tell us, we want to close our gate. But we have forgotten that we have visited. Even here, I feel that it's for us. I don't feel that we are in a hired place. Do you understand? Then they come and say that, even one pastor told us that, I'm going home. Because, so he just locks up and we are on the car park, still talking. So, now you have gone to bring somebody who is not used to all these things. So that this, your church, is breaking my relationship with you. This, your church, is fighting our marriage. Then now you come and say, Lady Pastor, she's some way, but you chose her and brought all these problems. I told you once, somebody went to visit a relative and said, where is your daughter? So she said she's a shepherd. I don't know whether they are sheep or goats in the area. Where she's going. You know, so marriage itself has its differences. You are temperamentally different. Your backgrounds are different. You are male and female. You are different. You are coming to add church differences also to make it more complicated. So, brothers, may the Lord open your eyes to see us. Amen. Amen. And then some of the sisters too. The brothers say that you don't like them. That's why they go outside. Yes. They told me at the meeting that you see them as brothers and you don't see them as husbands. But look around you. They are anointed, nice brothers. Sisters, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Sister, say yes. Amen. They are too stiff. Small hello that he'll say to you, you have become so, and what? How are you? Fine. Why are you going? No. Why? Let brotherly love continue. Amen. Brother, you have been seen. They will say yes. Amen. You are married. You are married and you are jumping like this. Can the leopard remove his spots? Some of us, when we marry, then you think to yourself, or you say to your husband, every day you want blessing in the bedroom, every day you want... He's a man. That's how God made him. And you want to change his spots. Why? You cannot change what God has done. Amen. So rather, celebrate the masculinity in him. Amen. You say, why are you always thinking about this? Because that's how God made him. And he has no apologies for that. Amen. So instead of fighting the masculine nature in him, celebrate the masculine nature in him. That, oh, God has really made you differently. But I celebrate that difference in you. Amen. When you are just in your bed, you say, don't touch me. I'm tired. I'm sick. Accept the fact that God has made him a man. His appetites are different. Amen. His capacity to eat naturally is often more than yours. In the same way, in the bedroom, it will be the same. Amen. I'm a woman myself, and I know that in our minds, we chastise them. Only this every day, only this every day. God made them that way. Because in their lives, this one thing they do, forgetting all others, forgetting. One thing have I desired, and that is what they seek after. One. Amen. So instead of saying, seek five things, seek six things, you just bless him in that one area. And all other things shall be added unto you. Amen, sisters. Sisters, we are changing. Amen. I mean, I was surprised when I got married that you can be angry about bedroom issues. I mean, what is it that you are so angry? Can it be that precious? But at a certain time in my walk with God, God just told me that, look, women should stop analyzing, trying to understand. So why? So because, look, most of the time it's the last thing on your mind. You are making tea, you are making this, you are making this, you are busy, but it's the last thing on your mind. So when the person brings that, just, should not be a John the Baptist to show us that Jesus is coming. But there's no such thing. So instead of being so surprised that you are not a man, so surprised that you are not that way, just accept it.
God made it.
Because I don't think we can ever understand. I don't think women can understand the depth. Because when I look at Bill Clinton, I mean, this one thing. So Lewinsky, it must be very, very, very precious. Oh. I told Bishop Adi, I said, when I look at Monica Lewinsky, and Bill Clinton said to her that, I don't know whether I can trust you. You look like somebody who will give me away. He said all that, and yet you still fall for this one thing. I said to Bishop Adi, it must be very precious. Mommy,
you have no idea.
Powerful. And I believe it's true because it makes great men fall. Great men. You see, look at the results and the effects. It makes great men fall. I mean, Samson, no matter how anointed, this one thing seems to have the ability to make even people who rule the world, they fall. So if such a power lies within your hands, wife, should you not use it properly to the glory of God? Believe me, it will change your life, your marriage, and everything. Okay? So obey before complain. But usually you complain before you obey. You say, you haven't minded me this 5 days. Is it now before you are whatever? You haven't been nice to me. You don't call me. Now I should suddenly bless you for what? But you can have that discussion. But if you have that discussion after you have given a blessing, it will be more fruitful. Okay? So obey before you complain. Amen. Another reason why all those things happen is that we are impatient with faults in people. We are impatient with faults. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. It doesn't just say restore. He says do it in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself also, lest thou also be tempted. But it's the spirit of meekness. So people can be overtaken in a fault, in a relationship, in marriage, in every sphere of life. You can be overtaken by a fault. It's like you were walking. You didn't really intend to walk into the fault, but the fault overtook you. And the Bible says that when that happens, restore that person in a spirit of meekness, spirit of humility, in a spirit of deference, not pride, arrogance, considering yourself also, that you also have faults, that you also have things that are not quite perfect about you. And when you have that attitude about people's faults, it helps you to live with people with faults. Because you always consider yourself. But many times when you talk as a spouse, as a beloved, hey, Reverend, you don't live with him, you don't know. He's this, he's that, he's that. It's all true. But what about you? What are also your faults? And sometimes in a relationship or in a marriage, when one spouse does not complain, the other one feels that it means she's perfect. But usually, your husband may just be quiet because he's able to be just patient with your faults. He just has a spirit of meekness. And you are the one who has
a murmuring and a complaining spirit. So because he says nothing, you just look at the scripture, I'm always finding 10 faults. He himself, he knows that there's nothing wrong with me. No, it's just because he has a spirit of meekness. He just tolerates your manifestations. So think about it humbly. Because there will be faults in people. There will be faults even when they are trying to be lovedos you. They may do it the wrong way. They may propose to you the wrong way. They may propose to you without giving you time to think. I mean, they met you today. Men are like that. 3 days, I want to marry. I mean, really, why so fast? I said, it's fast. You are not ready and all that. But don't push him away. Just tell him, it's very early. I need some time. Just be gracious. And when you say that you need some time, you will have that time to think through a bit. But when you say that, no, I said no to him because he's overspeeding. It's too much. It's too whatever. It's too. But what Naomi told Ruth is that Boaz, he will not sit down till he has done what he has to do to marry you. So sometimes it is a good sign. But you say, he's in haste. How can he say he loves me in 2 days? What does he know about me? It's all true. But give him time for the relationship to flourish. Instead of just saying, it's too late, stand aside, let me lead my life. You don't need to do that. It doesn't need to be botched by all means. Amen. Amen. Another reason why women miss out on their marriage opportunities is because they are not aware of the changing seasons of their lives. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 36. They are not aware of the changing seasons of their lives. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, that's towards the young woman he's interested in, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. But my emphasis is on the flower of your age. Every woman has a flower of her age. Some of the seasons in our lives, the seed has just been planted before it will bud a bit to germinate, then it will bud. But you get to a place where you are in the flower. You are just blossoming. You are so attractive. There is none like thee. Of all the maidens, thou art fairest amongst them. And you get all the attention from the male species. You get all the calls. And all the curtsies are shown you. When you come, the room becomes quiet because you are in the flower of your age. A lot of people want your phone numbers. You have a lot of friend requests on Facebook. You know that they are all friendly towards you. Sometimes even stepping on each other's toes just to please you. But the deception is you think that it will last forever. Every woman has a flower of her age. Where you are bad. And flowers attract people because of their beauty. Flower is beautiful, so it draws people to you. But in that season, you must maximize your season. Most of those seasons are when you are at a certain age. When you are younger. When you are in uni. You know? You get to meet so many guys. You even meet those who are working, even married men are interested in you. And you just feel that, I'm the nicest thing that ever happened on earth. It may be true, but other flowers are also in their germination stages. And at a certain time, they will also blossom. It will be their season, but your season would have passed. When I say that your season has passed, It doesn't mean that God cannot show you mercy. But the number of people interested in you will dwindle because it's a different season. Amen. Amen. I met a lot of funny people in the flower of my age. Funny, correct, not correct, eccentric. You meet all sorts of people. Some of them, I met a guy who was Ivorian, but he said he lived in Ghana. He was practicing as a doctor in Ivory Coast. And I just met him in my house, also my big sister's age, you know, but he was not married. And then I was in lower six. The sixth woman, I think, went a bit earlier. No, upper six. And then I was told I had a visitor. We arrived the day before the next day. And then it was this Ivorian doctor. Brought me books for my A-level French. So many things. And then the bisou. Bisou means kisses. This, I said, and this man too. What is his problem? And then he told my big sister, I really like your little sister. My big sister said, oh, this man likes you. You too, you speak French and all that. But I think I was even confused and dazed that. Can't he see his age that I'm not his age? So at the flower of your age, so many people come your way. And one of the things I had said to myself, which I said to my roommate also, was that one profession that I will never marry is a doctor. Never. Ever. So I met this Ivorian doctor. I met a man who was Bishop's lecturer. And he was Baptist. And I think that my mother really liked him. So every time he came to my house, my mother would say, what would you have? Can I give you some tea? And I'm in your milkshake more. But when my husband came, he was not even offered, what, a groundnut. And at certain points, my mother would ask me, so all these nice, fancy, you know, and they were all doctors. So I said, I don't want to marry a doctor. So it's not that. Open your eyes. All these fancy people you can see only gas. But that is the flower of your age. Because even then, Bishop was a student. So you have somebody who is attracted to you, who is a student, and then a lecturer, and then a worker, and then somebody younger, than different people. It's the flower of your age. But it will not be always. The season will pass. Amen. And not only that, you are not even in the flower of your age. The season of the people who were also attracted to you, who were around your age group, or a bit older, who were in your marriageable circle, will also pass because they will also settle down at a point. They cannot be waiting on you, lady in waiting, all the time. They are waiting on you to make up your mind. They cannot. They have to move on, you know. So before you know, that season has passed. You have entered another season. When you look around, everybody, then that's when you start to say, my type is not in the church. And during that season, we can also misbehave a lot. It's like either you are sampling or I don't know. You go out with this. You know that's not going to lead anywhere, but you just go out with this. You leave it. You go out. You are just wasting your time when you could have been in a more meaningful relationship. The seasons of life never stay the same. The Bible says there will be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, morning and night. You cannot do anything about it. That's the season. And that is why when Pharaoh had that dream and he called Joseph, he said, I had a dream. There were seven fat cows and seven lean cows. Everybody has a season of seven fat cows and seven lean cows. But it is how you behave in the season of the seven fat cows that determines whether you will survive in the season of the seven lean cows. Because when Pharaoh had the seven fat cows, that's when they built silos and storehouses so that when the seven lean years came, they didn't even feel it. Rather, they had more to give and to sell to strangers. We must discern the seasons in our lives. even financially. We have seasons, but we don't think that it will change. It's like it will be the same. No, now there's a recession. There was a time when there was a boom. There were jobs, there were this. The way you conducted yourself in that time could have helped you and shored you up a bit in this time of recession. It's the same in our choices of mates. We have the flower of our lives. The young ones. He came. His hair is this color. I don't like it. You giggle with your friends. Every time. I've told you this story time and time again that one of my very good friends, I gave her very bad advice. I said, his trousers are not straight. Can't he make his trousers straight? What is this? His trousers are trimoy. What? Then my friend just became discouraged and said, oh, and I mean, she was a very nice Christian sister, but she just shows her letters to us. And then we also go to town with whatever we see. A very correct brother who is now a pastor said to her in the note, we shall go for a moonlight walk. Oh, so when we see, moonlight is coming, moonlight. Moonlight is coming, look, 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 moonlight is coming. So we said, oh, this moonlight, he's ethereal, as if he lives in heaven. He's not, what moonlight? Oh. And she too, she would just grow cold towards the person. And she always used to say, I want to marry a pastor or somebody in the ministry. And all these people were. But she would always, you know, she would consult the consultants who don't have sense. And the consultants who don't have sense would say, oh, moonlight work. Where we see, moonlight is coming. Even up to today, when I see him, I've forgotten his name. To me, he's moonlight. And then this same sister, I've told you before, another brother, also a pastor now, great man of God, came to visit her, and her mother was doing some gardening, but not with the mower, with the cutlass. Quickly did he remove his shirt. He's doing, oh, disqualified. And why? You've just come to visit. The woman is doing God. No, you removed your... Are you Jacob? 7 years of labor. I mean, what? Oh, Charlie, put him somewhere and be happy. Then at the end of time, we all got married. And my friend did not get married for a long time. And even when she got married to somebody very different from her. Even educationally very different. And when I see her, I talk to her and all that, but the friendship is not like it used to be because her spouse is very different. So I feel very sad about it. And so what I'm telling you, I have walked it. And I pray for the mercy of God to forgive me for what we said, you know. It was my husband who drew my attention to it because even after that, I didn't see. So I was just talking to him that, hey, moonlight, I saw moonlight. This is the thing you and your friends did. That today, you look at what happened to your friends. What happened to her? But she got married. I said, no, you all got married. She was there. Do you remember? I hadn't even seen it. But that was why. So some of you, you have friends who are like Jonadab. You don't even have to listen to them. They may be Christian and everything, but when it comes to that area, they are inexperienced and they'll just, you know. Because even a mate of my husband's was interested in her. And I said to my husband, this is your mate. When he comes, he'll fall flat on his face. I said, why do you say that it's really working? When we went for community health in the north, we bought her these northern slippers. She received it with joy. I said, how do you know? Oh, he has been giving me feedback. It's working. So he's proposing this evening. I said, okay. He will fall flat. And fall flat he did. But the same sister, we are laughing. Oh, you fall flat. Oh, is it northern slippers that you used to wrap a girl? Oh, let's think about better things. So honestly, I say it with all pain. So don't let the season of your life pass by. You are looking for something on some horizon that doesn't exist. You are looking for this, you are looking for that. And some of you say, I cannot feel the chemistry. And in waiting for chemistry, you are now doing physics and maths.
It is true that you have to be in love. It helps to be in love. But love can be stirred up, and love can be cultivated, and love is a decision. That's why the Bible says in the book of Songs of Solomon that do not stir up love before its season. So love is something that can be stirred up or can be left latent. So do not just say there's no chemistry. You can become friends. And as you become friends and you stoke the fires a bit and you stir up, the chemistry will come. Amen. But you look at it, hey, Reverend, there's no chemistry because you haven't known him enough. There's been nothing. Physics is now working. You are calculating. When will I get somebody? Physics and math is not what you are doing because you were following chemistry. So chemistry cannot be everything. And that leads me to my next point. We don't get married when we should because we expect the proposal to come in a set way. We expect the proposal to come in a set way. We are very structured in the way the proposal must come. 2 Kings chapter 5. So Naaman came with, verse 9 reading on, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away, and behold, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Naaman was looking for a set structure for healing. So he was very angry when Elijah said, go and dip yourself 7 times and your flesh shall be made whole. He said, I thought, in verse 11, that he will come out to me, number one. He will use that method. He will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, number three, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. That is how we are when it comes to proposals. So when God is bringing a breakthrough, it may be dipping in the river. You say, oh, that's not the method I know love to be. There must be candles around us. He must get on his knees. That's what one of my brothers did. Get on his knees and propose to you. He must use these particular words. I must meet him myself. It cannot be by recommendation. I must meet him myself. You are just like Naaman. So structured. And if you knew that he must come out, stand, call on the name of the Lord, strike the place, why did you come? If you know how to be healed, why did you come to be healed? And most of us are so structured. You must wrap me for 3 months. After 3 months, you must start to buy me flowers. The person does not even know that flowers are things that you give to demonstrate love. On Valentine's Day, you must buy me chocolates. He doesn't even celebrate the Valentine's Day. You must propose to me in a very serene, soft music playing. You know, before it will be a proposal. And I must have met you myself, not on the bus. I must have met you myself, not that a pastor said, oh, I think this is a good sister. Try and get to know her. What is that? That's not love. For me, if I'm to be in a relationship, it has to be this way. He has to come out, stand, call on the name of the Lord, strike the place of the leprosy, and bring healing. God cannot heal you. And in the same way, God cannot reach you or help you or bless you because it has to be structured. Amen. Saying, why did he propose to the other sister?
because it didn't work before he is now coming to me. But if he's come to you and it also doesn't work, he will also go away. So if he stays, it means it worked. So celebrate it and be happy. Amen. We are too structured in how we think love should come. Our definition of what love is a bit warped. It's based on Harlequin, Mills and Boone. What romantic books do you have in this day and age? I shouldn't ask that. I should ask the young people. You know, and you expect that to come your way. And so when the package comes and it's not delivered in that way, you're expecting DHL, but Royal Mail brought it. It's not the parcel, but it's the same. It's the same parcel that's coming to you. You know? One of my relatives, she met a guy through introduction. And she didn't even want to go. Because a guy had said, look, I think that you'll be a very nice wife for my friend. So why don't you come? We're going out. When you come, I will introduce you. I think that he will like you. So type of structured whatever is that I should come with. As for me, I expect that when we meet, then we'll be in love. But now, look at what you are bringing. The chemistry is not there, and the this is not this. And she went. And she told me that when I went, and we met, and we spent time in the evening, I suddenly became afraid that something was going to come out of it. Do you understand? But the same person said she doesn't like structured things. Why is she being invited to this meeting? So that she will meet him. For what? Whatever. But most things are by recommendation. The person may not tell you, but he will be asking his friends, what do you think? What's your mind? What's your idea? If I know, you know, fine. Is that all not recommendation, but in different ways? It's all recommendation. And it may not always be done by the pastor. Do you understand? So, be flexible. Be malleable. Amen. Okay. Now, what did he say? Ruth chapter 2. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not in to glean, but abide there, and let no man touch you. Then verse 10, she fell on her face and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Ruth was a stranger to Boaz. Verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it has been fully shown me. Another version says, it has been fully reported all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work. And then verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. It started with a recommendation. Whose damsel? Whose damsel is this? Ruth didn't know about it. And it's the same way the pastor will say, this damsel, since she came, she has, and then the people reply that, oh, this is the Moabitish woman who came with Naomi. Since she came, she has been coming here to reap and to glean and to help her mother-in-law. And then when Boaz spoke to Ruth, Ruth said that, where do you know me from? I'm a stranger. He said that it has been fully reported. Fully. So it is a report and it is a commendation and it still led to marriage. So why are you freaking out? Why are you freaking out? They are arranging people in the church. No, we are just recommending. And if you don't like it, it's not by force. And you must like it, because after the wedding, after that we have left you, we are leading our lives, and you are sitting with what we recommended to you. So you better like it. Amen. It is fully reported. Boaz didn't know Ruth. He didn't meet her naturally. He didn't. It was commendation. He just came to the field and said, whose damsel is this? If the reaper had said, oh, some way girl, whatever. It's a bad recommendation and it wouldn't have worked. But the reaper said, oh, this is the Moabitish. And then Ruth said, I am a stranger. I'm not even among the sisters that normally fellowship with you. But based on a recommendation, a relationship can start. Not that it will end in something, but it is starting. And then as it went along, they themselves, the here and the there, so that before we knew, Obed has been born after marriage. So don't be too structured. Some of you would have said, he doesn't know me. It's just what the pastor said. That's why he's coming to talk to me. I mean, if it were another, it's not his own mind. It's not his, but God works in these ways. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. It doesn't just happen. It may look like a coincidence. He just came to look at his business, but she struck him. So whose damsel is this? She looks like somebody who must be beloved dosed. Who does she belong to? It has been fully reported. Fully. Whose damsel is this? Who is that sister in the choir? Who is that sister ushering? Who is that sister coming from there? It has been fully reported. Whose damsel is this? Amen. Sometimes you are recommended and you bring shame to the people who recommended you. One of the reasons why we don't get married when we should is because sometimes we are very ill-natured. Just like Naaman was angry, wrath, we are also ill-natured. And all these points I'm giving you, I have a human being at least who represents every point. I have a human being who represents every point because I started to think about all the people that I've had the privilege of pastoring. And some of them, sometimes out of the blue, people have called us, sometimes not even in the church, but they just feel that Lighthouse material will be good. They just believe when they hear messages, daughters, oh, your woman will be powerful, Pap. I don't know, but they have faith. And once upon a time, a call like that came in our bedroom. A nice pastor in the States. He had schooled in Ghana. I mean, he was known. I don't want to give you too many facts, but it was not in Lighthouse. And he said to Bishop, can you recommend somebody for me to marry? You know, I've just been studying, doing courses, PhD, this. And I realized that I'm not married. Good Christian that Bishop knew. So can you recommend anybody? My husband asked me, I said, nothing comes to my mind at that time. Then there was a sister, so he said, oh, this sister. But I knew that the sister was ill-natured. But I didn't think that she would show it in her. I thought that she would be more, you know, demure in her, whatever, and then sobriety, shamefacedness a bit. So the guy flew in. He bought a ticket and he flew in. He came. They had a meeting. He was very happy. They started fellowshipping, that he came again. They started marriage counseling. He was very happy. Then the sister said, why didn't you tell me you were coming by this flight? Why did you tell me it was 8:30 and then facings? Hey. All that, the guy took it as a stride. Oh, it's okay. I'm sorry. The last straw was, they went to his family house. And then I think the sister-in-law also was saying, oh, so you come from this family. Is there peace in your family? No, she just took her bag and stood by the door. I want to leave. I want to leave. What am I here for? I want to leave. Hey. So when you do that, even your husband can't cover you, your husband-to-be, because it's... Then after that, when they were going, the brother said, oh, but did you have to behave like that? And remember, he's come to Ghana. She has a car he doesn't have. She just applied the brake. Shh, get down. Get down, get down, get down. I mean, how can you just talk like that? How can you just... How can you... Get down. The guy got down out of nowhere and walked, and she zoomed off. What does he mean? What does he... Whatever. You've bought your wedding gown and everything by ill-natured. And not ill-natured only towards this brother. I knew her to be an ill-natured person. So I even said it that, hey, marriage, you need a lot of patience. Oh. So this is your sister who can address everybody. Can it work? Shep said, oh, God is a God of mercy. You know, maybe it will work. Shh, get down. So the guy came and told us, I've tried. I don't think it will work. Because even now, I'm not married. And the way the person is facing me, when I marry, it will not be easy. And the same person comes to stand in healing line. Oh, God, remember me. Remember me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. To me, it's not even funny. It's so pathetic. Marriage may not be everything, but you see, there are seasons when a door opens. There are seasons, and for somebody to honor you so much, just fly in, have marriage counseling with you, I want to marry you, and then also let you come and visit him. I mean, what else? The source of a recommendation. And it replicated itself in every other relationship up to today. And just this year, somebody I knew very well, another Christian, who has also been married before, his wife died, and he's looking for, has found this sister, this same sister again. And this, my friend, is so docile, so gentle. And he's asking me, so what do you think? I don't think. I don't think at all. So I asked Bishop Sack, I said, this is your friend. And she's going, hey, I don't know. They should discover each other. Yeah. Ill-natured. Your fuse is too short. Anything you freak out, anything you... And sometimes you hide it just because you are in a relationship. But when you get into marriage, you manifest the same things. Everything is about you. You should not be offended. She who must be obeyed. She who must not be crossed. She who must not be offended. And she who rules over all. But the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, meekness. When without these, there's no law. But we have giftings, but we don't have fruits in the church. We are gifted by God. But fruits take time to come. And it takes patience. And that's what we don't have. And the fruits of the Spirit are imperative in a marriage. If they do not flourish in a marriage, it's not going to work. Ill-naturedness. You are so unforgiving. You get angry at everything. And we are your pastors. We love you, but we can see that you're ill-natured nature. The Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a house than with a contentious woman in a large house. So when you are so contentious, everybody will go to the corner and nobody will be with you. And then you sit down and wonder, why is nobody coming? You are unapproachable. We can't approach you. You are so high and mighty, we are even afraid of you. Even for you to smile, it's like you have done us a favor. You need to create an enabling environment around you. If you don't have an enabling environment around you, nobody will cut through to come and talk to you. Every day you are angry about something. Every day you seem irritated. We can't draw near. When we see the contention, we will go to the corner of the house. And we shall dwell there. Amen. Another reason is the lack of humility. Lack of humility. Lack of humility. Amen. And this sister who was ill-natured, and I think she's also very proud. That's what I think. You see, it's not just her even male and female relationship. She's like that even with females, her own peers. She just, I mean, she will address you just now. You say what? You say what? They don't respect their subordinates. They don't respect themselves. They don't respect people who are their peers. They just don't respect. They're just rude. Ill-natured. In fact, I was discussing this very point with my husband when he said that you must preach on 25 reasons why people don't get married. Because he was saying that this person is so ill-natured. Can you imagine this person as a stepmother? It will not be easy for the children. Because even we around here, we can't.
The continuation of this message is on the next CD.